Welcome back to another episode of the Next Is Now podcast. Got another fun one coming up today. Once again, going to be having Travis Graff and Colby Giacobino hopping on here shortly. We are going to be looking back at our preseason bold predictions for the college basketball season. Talk a little bit about what went well, what didn't go as well for the most part, and then make some more bold predictions for the next month from March Madness to the coaching carousel to the transfer portal and everything in between. Let's get into it. Welcome back on, Travis, Colby. Been a very fun past few conversations the last few weeks. So excited to get into another one here, changing the scope more towards college basketball. And we've talked about it a little bit, but every single preseason, it feels like all sorts of outlets come out and have their some semblance of a bold predictions article, but that's kind of it. That's the last we hear of it once the season gets started. So wanted to come back to it as the season winds down here. We're in conference tournaments and kind of reflect on that. So that's what we're here for today. Once that's done here, we'll come up with a few new ones for the coming month. But looking back on the article, we each made three predictions here and we each have our fair share of bad ones in the mix here. So because of that, I'm just going to go down the list in no order. Colby, we'll start with yours. Let's talk about Deshaun Harris-Smith at Maryland, who you predicted to be at the beginning of the year, Big Ten Freshman of the Year. What went well and what didn't go as well as you expected?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think coming into the season, you know, obviously there was a lot of buzz around Deshaun. From numerous outlets, pretty much, but just pretty much saying that, you know, he had a potential to be a possible one and done, just because of how, you know, the high note that he ended his senior season with Paul the Sixth on, especially on a lot of national stages, you know, I think it took some time for him to adjust to the college level. I don't think the Big Ten is the wrong conference for him. I actually think it's the perfect conference for him because of the way that he, you know, he's so physical as a guard. I just think that the way that he was so used to physically dominating a game in high school, you know, when those initial bumps weren't bumping like they used to in high school, he didn't really have to, you know, anywhere to go, or, you know, I guess lack for a better term, like any counter moves once that didn't work because he never really had to before. So, you know, as of late, with especially once the season came down the tail end, I know they're going to play tonight here at Rutgers, against Rutgers, but, you know, definitely showed signs of life and showed signs of being more productive, hovering around, you know, whether it be 7 to 12, 7 to 14 points, grabbing a handful of rebounds and just being more confident. Definitely didn't, you know, he wasn't freshman of the year, did make all freshman team, for the conference. But, you know, just an adjustment to college. It's really, this is what, you know, why we do our jobs. It's so hard to really see how clearly these guys are going to translate at a given level.
Yeah, absolutely. I think obviously relatively up and down year for Maryland, had some big wins, but some bad losses. And I just saw actually right before this that he had the highest plus minus on the team. So I thought that was an interesting nugget. Like you said, I think he settled in pretty well as the season went on, and obviously going to be in for a big year next year as a building block for that program. Travis, your first one here, and you weren't definitely the only one on the ship in the preseason. Texas A&M, what happened here? How are we feeling?
Man, coming into the year, I thought that they were a perfect dark horse to make like a Final Four type of run. They had the size, they had the system. You returned Wade Taylor, who was great last year, who's been great this year. Had Tyrese Radford as well. Just a tough, hard-nosed team that plays for a tough, hard-nosed coach, but just didn't show up in the wins and losses column for the Aggies this year. Right now they're sitting at 18-13, 7th in the SEC at 9-9 in conference. Just couldn't get the ball rolling for a lot of conference play, couldn't string together weeks of wins. I still think there's an outside shot that they can make a run in the SEC tournament like they did a year or two ago, but they would have to win the whole thing to even get in the tournament right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely another one that I felt like they were just up and down. Like they showed what they were capable of, especially early season, some of those big wins, but can never stay consistent with any of them. my first one, another SEC one, and it was probably the one that I actually feel best about, and it still wasn't great. But mine was Todd Golden and Florida make their ascension. Looking back now, Florida, it finished sixth in the SEC and had some monster wins. Some bad losses, like the one against Vanderbilt recently. I think Riley Kugel was kind of the big point here. Like, he didn't necessarily make the jump I expected. But I think Zion Poling kind of compensated, because I think he overperformed in terms of what people thought he was going to be coming into this year. Believe he, yeah, finished first team all SEC. So big year for him. And still a big fan of Florida, and going into March, I think they have pretty high upside, but definitely hasn't gone as smooth as I expected. Moving on to our second group of predictions, let's talk about Carlton Carrington. Colby, definitely been a bit uneven, had a monster start to the year, but you had that he blossoms into a first-round pick, and I think it still seems very well within the mix, depending on his decision. But I think there's also a world he comes back for year two. What have you thought for this season?
Yeah, as you said, Max, got off to, I would say, you could phrase as a perfect start. Brings the size, and the most intriguing thing is, of course, his age, you know, being, if not the one of the youngest you know, draft prospects if he were to declare, especially in the college ranks. But you know, we kind of saw him level off a little bit, especially once ACC play came around, and they were, you know, playing the playing teams a second go around. I think that's really expected with anybody, but particularly a freshman. He was able to rebound. He said, you know, he had a recent huge game against Boston College. I think all eyes will be on him, especially in the ACC tournament and that type of environment. See how he responds to that. You know, but as you laid out as well, I could see him very much ascending into that conversation. With the draft being what it is this year, I think this is the year to kind of take a stab at something, or maybe have a reach for a prospect, if you will. But I could also see him coming back, you know, really solidifying his draft stock, and then, you know, definitely being a first round pick next year, you know, barring anything crazy happening. So yeah, I mean, I was close on that. I don't know if many people saw it. I'm not going to sit here and say that I knew it was coming, because I think if you say that, you're a liar. But you know, he's definitely an intriguing prospect to go forward, and we could definitely see him, you know, his name, surface in a lot of mock drafts if he gets hot, you know, in this next week.
Yeah, definitely. I think even like right now, if you were to put together a list of the most interesting decisions for the next month draft-wise, I would imagine he would be either one or in the top three of everyone's lists. Will be really, really interesting, especially like you laid out with this draft. Travis, might be a little bit of a tough one here again. Yours was that for the first time since 2018, a non-front court player wins the Wooden Award. Zach Edey looks pretty strong here. What went wrong?
Yeah, Zach Edey has to be like minus 20,000 odds at this point. Edey's having a hell of a year, averaging like 24 and 12, I want to say. Yeah, that one was probably the worst miss for me so far. It's going to end up being the worst miss for me on this list, because, I mean, Edey's just going to run away with it. I was just banking on maybe Purdue falling off a little bit, maybe there being some big man fatigue in the media push, but, I mean, guards that would have a chance would probably be Donk Connect, Jamal Sheed, guys like that, Tyler Kolek, but they're not going to beat Zach Edey. I would be absolutely floored, just as everybody else would in basketball, if Zach Edey did not win this award for the second time.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, if it wasn't for Edey kind of being dominant again, I think Connect would be right there for sure.
Yeah, if you take Edey out there, like, I'll take the guards over the other bigs in the country, like Hunter Dickinson, Kyle Filipowski, Deron Holmes. Like, if Edey is out of the equation, which he's not, obviously, but if he was, like, it's a totally different conversation. And then we're having a legit talk about it.
No, I agree. It'll be interesting to see next year what happens, because it does feel like big guys have won very clearly the last few years. So that'll be an interesting little storyline. My second one here was another Pac-12 one. I had two Pac-12 forwards bursting out of the national scene. One I feel good about, one not so much. First one was Tristan DeSilva at Colorado, who's had another strong year, and I think he's well kind of in the mix to be a top 40 pick this summer. Plus, obviously, with Colorado kind of on the bubble here, they need a little bit of a run in the Pac-12 tournament, but I think Colorado's another team that's honestly a bit dangerous in March. Wish I probably went with his teammate KJ Simpson here, but did not. So still love Tristan. Will be an interesting one over the next month to track. And then the second one was Nate Biddle. Bad luck here. Tough year for Nate Biddle. Only played 5 games between injuries and having an illness. So that's a tough one, but another little miss here. Last round of these predictions, let's go to Colby. Your final one was at Villanova in the Big East. They're now entering the Big East tournament as a 7 seed battling for a spot in the bubble. And to be honest, I was right there with you. Thought, like, on paper, they had one of the best rosters in the country. What do you think hasn't gone as expected?
Man, if they lose tonight, I got to owe something. To go out there and lose to DePaul in the first round of the Big East, or, you know, in their first game would be something. Yeah, man, no, I fell in love with them on paper, as you mentioned, Max. I thought, you know, they checked pretty much every box where they had, you know, you got a big, you have the experienced guards, you go and hit the jackpot in the portal to get more experience. You kind of feather in there with some young talent. And you know, again, on paper, it all seemed like it was going to work out. Could be a number of things. Obviously, first and foremost, they play in the Big East, which is arguably the best conference, you know, in the country. And then, yeah, they're just on watch. I mean, because, you know, this is the type of year, and again, not that I would ever shoot for somebody's job, but, like, it's kind of like one of those things, what more do you need in order to be successful? You know what I mean? And you know, Neptune and company, you know, they got to get it together. I'm not sure, you know, in terms of what the future, in terms of where they're going to in the portal. You know, I'm sure we'll hear about that in the next 48, 72 hours. But yeah, man, I mean, like I said, I didn't think there was an excuse this year for him to underperform, aside from, again, playing in the Big East Conference. But I don't even think coming into the tournament, they're not a team that you're really watching and seeing could make a potential run. So just a big whiff on my end here.
Yeah, I think almost similar to Texas A&M in a lot of ways, where it was like, this team is talented. There's a lot of pieces in place. And we saw it at certain points of the year, too. They had some big wins, but it was just very, very inconsistent. And they slipped in some games that they shouldn't have slipped. So I think, too, going into this summer, like you mentioned, portal is going to be fascinating for him. For them, it seems like kind of a situation where they can't afford to miss now after how this year went. Travis, your last one here. Adu Thierro, I think it was that you had him kind of popping up as a draft prospect. He's had a ton of big moments for an awesome Kentucky team too, but hasn't quite asserted himself on the draft radar yet. What do you think hasn't gone as you potentially expected?
Yeah, I thought, because I kind of predicted before the season started that Adu Thierro would have a much better early season than Justin Edwards, and they would be going against each other for playing time. Justin Edwards has come on strong over the last few weeks, obviously in big matchups. And then Adu Thierro missed pretty much the back end of December and pretty much all of January with a back injury. And I still think that he could get on, because my original take was that he would be on the first, like in first round discussions. I think he would be on draft boards with a strong showing in March, but I don't know if he could. I think it would be have to take an immaculate showing for him to get first round at this point for this year. But I do see him popping up on a couple first rounders for next year's draft projections. So that doesn't make me feel too bad about that take.
Not enough.
But he's. I mean, he's a kid. He's still growing. He had a late growth spurt with a guard. Now he's playing more four. Playing some three, but mostly four. Big, strong body, and I think he's got to stop growing to figure out what he's going to be as a prospect. Because right now it's just a bunch of projections, and I mean that's part of the reason I think why he's had back issues and knee issues and things like that since his freshman sophomore year at Kentucky, just because he's still having growing pains. Yeah, so, I'm interested to see what Marsh looks like for him.
Definitely. He's definitely been a big spark plug, feels like, all throughout the year, especially the beginning of
I thought when he had 16 and 13 against Kansas in the Champions Classic, I was like, all right, this is the easiest. Yeah, you got me. I'm all through this. But then Wills kind of fell off.
Nah, he definitely is a big spark plug for them. And when you're that athletic and you have that size and you play that hard, I feel like he's going to have a pathway to the league whenever it might be. My final one here, definitely a huge miss. I was very intrigued by UCLA's incoming international recruiting class and definitely a bit too excited. All four of Jan Vide, Elon Fiblu, Ademara, and Burke have been pretty underwhelming besides Burke at times. Mick Cronin and the guys went a very different direction from a recruiting standpoint, trying to fill the void of the Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Clark, Tyre Campbell, and those guys, and it's definitely hasn't gone the way they expected. Somehow they did actually manage to finish fifth in the Pac-12, but been a very tough season for them. I think another team, like we talked about, Villanova, going to be very interesting to see which direction they go in the portal over the next 40 days or so, but definitely a big miss. But tying the knot on those preseason predictions, I wanted to get into some predictions over the next month here. Kind of left it open-ended on purpose for you guys, whether it's the portal, whether it's March Madness, whether it's the coaching carousel. Just wanted to talk a little bit about some more bold predictions. Hopefully they go a little bit better than our preseason one. So start with Colby here. What'd you have?
Keep it short, but Mike Jones at Old Dominion will land three high major transfers. You know, obviously you hear intel here and there. I'm not going to say that I've heard three guys that are going there, but I will say, like, it's the word is around the area. He's definitely going to flip that program around, and he's going to do so in a very quick, strong manner. With all the connections that he has, whether it be from DeMatha, WCAC, his time with USA Basketball, what have you, or, you know, previous schools, he's going to have an opportunity for those guys to come in and make an immediate impact with someone who, you know, anywhere that Jones has went, a lot of people have trusted him, you know, kind of like a second father. So I think he's going to get that program up and running very quickly, and it's going to be, I think, you know, he's going to make a living in the transfer portal, as well as, you know, he's able to keep a guy like Caden Diggs committed. You know, they have a good class coming in anyway. We'll see how that kind of fluctuates as the portal unravels. But I think he's going to make a huge splash, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with right away.
No, that's a good one. Definitely. I think one of those schools, especially one of those coaching gigs where it's like they moved fast and they kind of have a leg up in terms of this portal stuff and recruiting, whereas it feels like a lot of these jobs now, I guess they're starting to kind of identify their targets, but feel like he definitely should have a leg up in terms of being there and kind of being settled in and being able to get ahead on those recruitments. I'm going to stick with two of my preseason predictions, kind of two teams that I really liked, two teams that probably are going to be seeded somewhere between like the 6 and 9 seeds. I'm going to go with both Florida and St. Mary's get to the second weekend. First one, I think Todd Golden and the Gators get to the second weekend, potentially an Elite Eight. They're deep. They have a few different X factors that it feels like they can step up in any given matchup. And I think Golden, too, just has shown the ability to game plan come March, play a few different styles depending on the matchup. Like I mentioned earlier, the losses to teams like Vanderbilt definitely get you worried, but are expected for, I guess, a team that has a ton of new pieces like Florida. But I think Golden has his guys playing his best basketball in March when it matters most. And secondly, with St. Mary's, I think they finally get back to a Sweet 16. We saw last night, but Augustus Marshallonis is definitely one of my favorite players in the country, was the conference player of the year there. And then Adam Haney can get scorching hot in any given game. Mitchell Saxon's playing great basketball. The injury to Joshua Jefferson definitely hurts them. I think he's a ceiling raiser, but I think the style of play in general, they don't play a ton of possessions and they really execute. I think it translates to March. So I think they have a ton of pieces. Excited to see where they kind of land in the bracket. Travis, what you have here?
For me, I'm transitioning from Texas A&M being my surprise team or my dark horse to now I'm going to go with BYU. Finished fifth in a tough Big 12 conference. Mark Pope's very good coach. They shoot the, second most amount of threes in the country. Shoot 32 games. So if they're hitting, it's going to be hard to beat them. They also rebound the ball very well. The one thing watching them the last couple weeks is I worry about rim protection and getting a stop whenever they're going to need it in the tournament. But they're a team that, I'm willing to bet on them to Elite Eight. Like, if it was, plus 1,200 odds or something like that, I'd bet on it. And then another one is, we haven't touched on the coaching carousel yet, but if Will Wade gets a high-tier job this spring, summer, out of the carousel, I think that whatever program he goes to next year is in the tournament year one.
Yeah, I'd look out for it. Hitting the portal at a high major job is going to be pretty scary for sure. Obviously, hit the ground running at Big Knees. Those are good ones. Colby, what'd you have for your second one here?
Second one is going to be NCAA tournament related. I'm going to side with Samford as my Cinderella team this year. I just think, Max, you said it's kind of the opposite of St. Mary's approach. They're just going to press the hell out of you. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. They're going to play kind of carefree. That's the culture that they've established there. And I think, coming into an opening weekend where, I don't know where they'll exactly be seated, but obviously they're going to be heavy, playing heavy favorites. Whoever they're lined up against. And I think when you come in there and if you're just lacking a little bit, those are the type of teams that can pull something off. And just judged off, the way that they kind of hold themselves and how they put themselves in a different light, I think they're the type of team that can catch fire and maybe even win two games in the tournament. So let's see how far they go.
No doubt. Now we need a St. Mary's Samford matchup in the Sweet 16. But I think, honestly, one of the most fun parts of March Madness is how all these teams with contrasting play styles and play super unique styles of basketball. And then Samford plays a team, whoever it might be, will definitely have never seen a style of play like they play. So I think that they're a fun X factor and definitely will be fun to watch. My last one here, going back to the coaching carousel, like Travis mentioned, I think we see a big surprise in terms of a big coach stepping away from the game. We've seen Jay Wright, Boeheim, Coach K, a few others step away the last few years, and I think we see that once again with one of the coaches from Power 6 Conference. I don't know exactly who it's going to be, but guys like Izzo, Dana Olmed, Tony Bennett, a few others have already been mentioned in kind of this discussion. So I don't know who it's going to be, but it's definitely feeling like a wild carousel, and there's been a bunch of buzz about movers, but I think one of these coaches will kind of bring in unexpected dynamic and some sort of twist along the way in this carousel over the next few weeks. But that's all I got. Looking forward to watching a ton of basketball over the next few weeks. Appreciate you guys hopping on. We'll definitely be at it again soon.